Musician slash athlete has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only, I mean, could you imagine a twin? Paul Lavoy.
I gas it up. You got your fancy Tesla hooked up to a plug. I know you're mad. You think I'm bad. Cause I'm breathing free at last and you're still stuck behind your mask and I'm offended. You're offended. Let's all get offended tonight. I'll order us a beer. We can sit down right here and scream and yell and cuss and fuss and fight.
We don't do any of that. No screaming, yelling, cussing, fussing, or fighting here. Right, Ron Gould?
I just picked up the your car plugged into a plug, or your Tesla plugged into a plug part of that.
You got your fancy Tesla hooked up to a plug.
There you go.
That one?
I didn't catch that before.
That's John Rich from Big and Rich doing his solo act, I'm Offended. Good stuff. And it's Ron Gould's new theme song right here on Speak Out. It's April 12th, 2024. I am Paul Lavoy. And District 5 Mojave County Supervisor Ron Gould is here. But we have a special guest on the phone. We call him the Tuminator, Steve Tuminello. How you doing?
Hi, Paul. I'm doing great. How are you and Ron doing today?
Well, you know, Ron's kind of, I don't know. I didn't recognize his voice for a second.
I think we might have to have a contest and see if the listeners think I sound more like Alex Jones or RFK Jr.
Yeah. Not RFK yet. But if you keep talking and wear your voice out, then you can sound like him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I still like him, so what are you going to do? So, I got Steve. I thought this was a really good fit for today, and Steve's going to stay on with us for about 5, maybe 8 minutes and tell us about an event that's going on in Las Vegas this weekend. So, Steve, the floor is yours.
Well, actually, it's next week, and I'm always happy to be on with Ron Gould. He is definitely our best supervisor on the Board of Supervisors of Mojave County, a total constitutional patriot, in my opinion, as well as Sheriff Max. So, Ron, I'm honored to be on today. I'm glad Paul could give us a few minutes during your time today. Next week, we're having a big press conference, Paul. Our last press conference was in July of 2022, and we had Catherine Engelbrecht and Greg Phillips from True the Vote, the 2000 Mules movie, Mike Lindell, about a dozen constitutional sheriffs. Tina Peters was there. It was a huge event. And then Sheriff Mack got contacted by the media from Russia and London, England. They said, we want to interview you about what you're doing with the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. And he said, well, if we do that, you're going to have to sit through my constitutional training. So next Wednesday, April 17th at the Ahern Hotel and Event Center, where we had our press conference back in 2022, at 8:30 in the morning, we have registration. The Ahern Hotel and Event Center is on 300 West Sahara Avenue in Las Vegas.
Right. So let me stop you for a second, Steve. So 300 West Sahara is basically three blocks off of the Strip. If you're on Las Vegas Boulevard and you hit Sahara, turn west towards Mount Charleston, right, and it's three blocks up.
Correct. It's in between the Interstate 15 and the Las Vegas Strip.
Right.
So easy access to get into. It's a non-gaming, an event center. The owner, Mr. Ahern's a patriot. They have a lot of patriot events there throughout the year. And we're expecting a big crowd because General Mike Flynn, is on his bus tour promoting his new movie, Flynn, the documentary. And he's going to be airing his movie on Thursday the 18th. And he's also going to speak at our event on Wednesday night. The actual press conference starts at 6:30 until 9. And during the day, we're having the constitutional training all day. And then we got a surprise that Steve Bannon's going to be there on Thursday at the Ahern Event Center at 10 o'clock until 3. With his show. So it's going to be a action-packed couple of days there. And I was talking to one of the patriots last night that helped organize this. He said, I think we've got everybody but President Trump. and Ron Gould. Of course, we'd like to have Ron Gould there. But, it's going to be a big event. We're very excited about it. We've already got a lot of registration reservations.
I want to get to that part. The most impressive guest to me personally is Wayne Allyn Root. I love his show when I go to Vegas. I love War is his initials, right?
Yeah.
Wayne Allyn Root.
Exactly.
And he uses War by Edwin Starr for his theme music. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know that you knew him. I actually have a list of the speakers here, and I was going to tell you, of course, General Flynn is one of our highest profile. Mike Lindell will be back again. Tina Peters, who we've had on your show,
right,
who both you and Ron know and have met. Patrick Byrne from Overstock.com, who was at our 2022 press conference. We're going to have about three or four constitutional sheriffs in addition to Sheriff Mack there, of course. Wayne Allyn Root, as you had mentioned, syndicated talk show radio host, since you're a native of Las Vegas, as I understand it. So
yes.
Wayne's show originates out of the Las Vegas area. But yes, it's going to be an action-packed couple of days. We're very excited about it, and we've got quite a few of our patriots out of Lake Havasu City and all over Mojave County that are coming up for the event next week. So,
well, let's tell people how to register and what the cost is.
CSPOA.org, and there's a $49 registration fee, but that covers your lunch and a dinner in the evening before the press conference starts, and helps kind of offset some of the expense of the facility, the
right.
venue there.
So
CSPOA.org.
So, Steve, how long, like if people are going to get a reservation in Vegas for a room and then go to the event, how many days should they plan for?
Well, I'm going to be there Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, because General Flynn's movie will wrap up that evening around 9, 9:30.
Right.
But I would say if they want to be there for the press conference and they only want to stay one night, I would try to get up there around 8:30 to 9:30 on Wednesday and book it for one night. It ends at 9 o'clock, so it could be a one day trip and drive back to Lake Havasu, Wednesday night. But if they want to stay for Steve Bannon and General Flynn's movie, I would stay at least, one night, possibly two, to see everything that's going on. So it's going to be a very exciting couple of days for us.
All right. Question, Ron?
No.
Nothing? Okay. Steve, I guess that about does it. And again, it's April 17th, which again is 2 days after tax day. That's kind of convenient.
Yeah.
I like that.
Oh, yeah.
I like that.
Exactly.
All right. So it's on Wednesday and it runs all day, 8:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. I'm looking at the flyer right now. It's called Resist the Temptation, put on by the CSPOA, and it's CSPOA.org, did you say?
That is correct, CSPOA.org.
All right, perfect. Or it looks like you can get more information at 602, what is this number? I'm going to blow it up here. 602-268-9268. Is that correct?
Right, that is correct. That's at our offices up in the Salt Lake area. So,
all right, perfect. Steve Tuminello, thanks for joining us today on Speak Out.
Well, thank you, Paul, and thank you, Ron. It was nice talking to you both, and look forward to next week. Thank you so much for letting us promote that.
And tell your friends and neighbors that you can hear more information. You can hear the interview about 12:15. This will be posted, okay?
All righty. Thank you, Paul.
Thanks, right. Steve.
You betcha.
Okay.
Thank you
okay.
so much.
Bye, Ron.
All right, bye-bye.
Uh-huh.
All right, I want to remind our listeners, too, we have Diamondbacks tickets against St. Louis Cardinals tomorrow night, 5:10. So if you want those tickets, give me a call during the next break, 928-854-KNTR, 928-854-5687. We'll get you so close you'll scare Paul Goldschmidt. How's that? Hopefully Goldie won't be doing Goldie things, as Steve Berthume says for the Diamondbacks television network. He always says that. Goldie doing Goldie things. So hopefully, because he's on the Cardinals now, he's not doing Goldie things tomorrow night against the Diamondbacks.
I'm thinking of somebody else.
Oh, I'm talking about Paul Goldschmidt. Okay. I don't know what Goldie you're thinking of.
I'm thinking of somebody that is a mascot and got himself in trouble.
Oh, okay. Here in Mojave County?
No.
No? Last time we left off the MEC saga for the peaker plant, right?
Right.
The natural gas-powered peaker plant. Kind of on hold. Not sure what's going on with this. It's more of a public education campaign it looks like, by MEC. So what's going on with that?
They've got an invite-only meeting this afternoon I guess they've got a new potential location. So I'm going to go up there to their meeting and see what their new location is.
You really sound worse than you are.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, no, you seem like you're in perfect time. Your color's good. You know, you got a smile on your face. But if I just close my eyes and listen to you, if I imagine myself as a listener listening to the radio only without seeing you, I think, man, he sounds
that
like
that guy sounds terrible.
He's on death's door.
Yeah.
But the cool thing is, folks, I don't know if you remember this news story, but Ron got his hydraulic trailer stolen when he wasn't at his property in Yucca. And you drove up with that trailer. I thought, is that the trailer?
Yeah, wow. It was. And I remember I was on the radio whining about
you kinda
somebody stealing it.
You kind of oversold it, by the way.
Yeah.
No, I thought it was much more new than it really
no,
is.
No, it's old. But it's ratty. But I don't want right. to buy. I didn't want to buy a new one for $14,000.
That's funny.
But yeah, we got like must have been back in September. Yeah, I got a call from the. Bullhead PD had found it parked on a city street up in Bullhead City.
What?
Yeah, it was just parked on the street. So I'm pretty sure they must have heard the news thing and decided, oh, no, we stole Gould's trailer. And so they dumped it. And
the people in Bullhead dumped your trailer?
Yeah, it just was sitting on the street in Bullhead City.
So where?
The trash that I had in it was still in it.
Oh, my.
And they had piled in 17 old tires. And a bunch of palm fronds and palm stumps.
Okay.
On the thing. So we had to go up there. It ended up in the impound yard up in Bullhead City. So because I didn't want to make the PD stand there and watch it, you know, for the 4 hours it was going to take me to get ready to go up and get it. So I just let them tow it to the impound yard and paid the $90 impound.
You had to pay impound fees to get your own trailer?
Yeah, but I'm okay with that.
It's not like it was repoed or anything.
No, and I could have said just leave it alone, but I was afraid they would come back and get it.
Wow.
So I paid the $90 to tow it to the impound yard. But so we got up there and saw the trash that was in the back of it, went to Walmart to get a tarp to put over all the trash so we didn't blow leave a stream of trash between here and there.
I remember.
But the dump bill was like $125 because of the 17 tires that were in the thing.
Oh, my God.
But I'm so happy I got it back.
So a couple hundred bucks later, you got your trailer
right.
back.
Well, interesting, it had brand new tires on it. And a brand new battery, and it still had brand new tires on it and the brand new battery when I got it back.
Wow, at least it wasn't stripped.
Yeah, interesting.
See, everybody, there's always a bright side. There's always that silver lining, right? Just like in the movie Silver Linings Playbook. There's always that silver, you know, it may have cost them a couple hundred bucks to get it back, but at least it still had new tires, new battery, and it's in your possession. So what did you learn from this? What's the teachable moment?
When I thought I drove by on Sunday night and thought I should secure that trailer better and didn't do anything about it. And then Monday it was gone.
Right, right, right.
So when you get those feelings, it might be the Holy Spirit sending you a message that you should act upon it. And if you ignore it, bad things happen.
That's very funny. That's too funny. I want to talk about this story that was in, it wasn't in the Herald. It was in the Mojave Valley Daily News about the sheriff's substation.
Sure.
It's going into that. I can't remember the name of the plaza. It's just south of...
I think
of
it's El Rio Professional Plaza.
It is. It's where that church is or was.
Right, there's a church.
And there's a reader board on the highway, an electronic reader board, that's like $280,000. And now the board of supervisors is going to consider buying that because it wasn't part of the deal for the substation with ARPA money. Is that coming out of your share of ARPA funds?
Half of it is.
Really?
Yeah, the other half is from Supervisor Angus.
That's American Rescue Plan Act, if you're keeping
score on
the acronyms.
It was already, it was part of the original deal, but the sheriff ran out of money. So Joe Jones, there's a piece of land that goes with it also.
Okay.
So it's not just the sign. It's some additional land also.
I got you.
And so he peeled that off of there so that they could make the deal. And then the sheriff came back to us and said, hey, that board would be cool. We could put up amber alerts, silver alerts, whatever we wanted to do, people that are wanted that you're looking for. We thought it would be super handy.
That makes sense.
Currently has Joe Jones' face on it, which is only handy for Joe Jones. And we appreciate he made us a good deal on the,
right.
on everything.
Hey, we're going to come back and we're going to talk about this territorial abortion ban.
Sure.
I thought that would be a great fit for you, seeing as how you served so many years in the legislature and what's going on with that. And if you feel that, I don't see, I'm kind of torn on this one. It's like, I mean, I like the 15 week, you know, the what most states are adopting now. I'm not for abortion. Don't get me wrong. I think you know, in the end, you're still killing babies.
Right.
I mean, give me a break. I mean, Chris Rock said it best. You know, congratulations, ladies. You still get to kill babies.
Right.
But the territorial ban is non-negotiable, and it provides for, you know, jail terms for those people who prescribe the medication. I don't think it's for prescribing medication.
No, because
not the verbiage.
Right.
But for aborting a fetus, you know, if a doctor participates in that. So I want to go over what Arizona News Radio reported on that. There's a really good report from Barbara Villa on their News Clip website. And we'll talk about a few other things as well with District 5 Mojave County Supervisor Ron Gould. He's a little under the weather voice-wise, but you know what, folks? He looks normal, all right? It's just nothing.
As normal as I usually am.
He's still climbing through attics as the AC guy, right?
I am.
The air conditioning guy. All right. Back with more in a moment. Again, if you want Diamondbacks versus St. Louis Cardinals tickets for tomorrow night, we gave away yesterday's. Or we gave away tonight's pair yesterday. That was it. First pitch at 5:10 tomorrow night. Give me a call, 928-854-KNTR. 928-854-5687. I'll give you four seats, third baseline, just off of third base, about 20 rows up. It's a station's tickets. Yeah, they're nice. They're very nice. And you'll scare anyone near the dugout. So, back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. Here's a little Toby Keith and Willie.
We got too many gangsters doing dirty deeds. Too much corruption and crime in the streets. It's time the long arm of the law put a few more in the ground. Send them all to their maker and he'll settle on them. Cause we'll put a boot in your ass, it's the American way. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list, and a Statue of Liberty started shaking her face.
All right, welcome back to Speak Out. And we got some feedback from a listener, our own Roger Galloway.
Hey.
Says you sound fine.
Thanks, Roger.
He's kind of tone deaf, though.
Yeah.
He doesn't hear well. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding, Roger. You know that. He's laughing. He has a great sense of humor. Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford by Just Meats. All the cuts, all the time. A locally owned and operated butcher shop in Lake Havasu City by Patio Paradise. Salmon's Air Conditioning, serving the tri-state area for over 53 years. Ask about their superior maintenance plan. And by Blonzy Steakhouse. Check out their Mopar versus Bowties car show on April 20th.
Interesting.
It's a week from tomorrow. And they have another event called Duck Duck Jeep that's on May 4th. They have Melissa Lucas is constantly having car shows out there. And while you're out there, go a little bit early and have breakfast. Because they have an amazing breakfast at Blonzy's Steak. They should just call it Blonzy's and drop the steakhouse.
Yeah, because I think
it's kind of misbranded.
The Blondies moved to Golden Shores.
Right.
So you don't have that confusion anymore. But that's her name that she brought down from Portland area.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. When I applied for a DBA with my former business, they searched everything. I had to. It was called One Take Productions. And I had to, I don't remember, there was something I had to adjust, but there was another company in the Phoenix or Maricopa County area that had the same name, or very close to it.
I couldn't get my own name out of the corporation commission.
That's what I'm talking about, right.
Yeah, we were incorporating a couple years back.
The air conditioning guy?
Yeah, I wanted the air conditioning guy,
uh-huh.
And then it would be Inc. They wouldn't give it to me, so we had to put an S on there.
There's a guy.
And then about 3 months later, they go, here you go. It's like, thanks. We don't need it now.
Right.
Thank you, great state of Arizona.
So Barbara Villa filed a report on the Arizona News. What is it called? AZ News Radio.
Right.
Duh. They're one of our partners, and she filed a report on the governor's response, and this is on their website where I grab sound bites and scripts and that sort of thing. And I thought this was a really good story.
She was down there when I was down there, so she's been down for quite a while.
Oh, she has?
Yeah.
So let's hear that report, and then we'll get Ron's reaction after that because of your many years, of course, in the state capitol as a senator. State rep as well?
No, I was always a senator.
I keep wanting to say state assemblyman because that's what they are in Nevada.
Right.
That's what I grew up with.
That's the House of Representatives in Arizona.
I got you. All right. Yeah, it's called the State Assembly in Carson City.
Yeah, California's the same way.
I got you. All right. Let's, hear that report and we'll come back with some feedback.
After Wednesday's failed Democratic push for a House vote on a repeal bill, the dejected governor says a special session won't be productive.
Just because I call a special session doesn't require them to do anything different than happened yesterday. Leadership can still keep it off the board. Right now, that's not the right path forward.
The governor is more confident of her executive order protecting abortion doctors and nurses from prosecution.
If somebody wants to challenge that, go right ahead. I'm very confident that we're on solid legal ground here.
But Hobbs points to a last option, an initiative legalizing abortion that appears headed for the November ballot. Barbara, Arizona News Radio Phoenix.
See, now that's what I think is very interesting, Ron, because that's the territorial ban is already in state statute. Am I correct?
Yeah, we never repealed that. That was the law that was in effect up to 1973 when Roe versus Wade came out of the Supreme Court. That Roe versus Wade was never a law. It was a Supreme Court. They made law out of thin air.
Well, yeah, it's called legislation through the courts.
Right.
Obviously. So what happens now? The reason I say I thought that was in statute is, does a ballot referendum preclude statute? So if that's in the state statutes, doesn't it have to be overturned by the legislature? Steve and I had this conversation here in the mothership, and we were talking about that. It's like, well, just because the voters vote for or against abortion, does that trump the statute?
You can go to the voters to change statute, and you have to go to the voters to change the Constitution.
Okay.
I think it does. What people need to know about that citizens initiative that they're gathering signatures for is that allows abortion up to the moment of birth. It is a very extreme initiative because it says the mental health of the mother.
Oh.
So theoretically that the moment up to the moment of birth, so it doesn't stop at viability. It's right up to the moment of birth, and that's extreme, and I don't think a majority of people do not support that.
Well, it's an 1870s law, correct? Territorial
1864.
Law. 1864. Yeah. Okay. That was the year Nevada was admitted into the Union, actually.
Right.
It was called Battle
Now, that was when they created the Arizona Territory.
So that's what I'm thinking is the 1860s.
It doesn't mean that it's bad just because it's old.
But 1864... Think about that. Medical technology back then. Okay, you had to kill a rabbit, number one, to determine if a woman
was
pregnant.
Right.
Number two, there was no abortion pill or morning after pill that wasn't even developed probably until the 1990s, if I remember correctly.
Right. It's RU486 is
what it is. By French scientists, right.
Yeah.
RU486. So I'm baffled by the court's decision. When I first heard it, I thought it was political.
Uh-huh.
I thought, okay, here we go again. We're going to revolutionize the women's groups, the special interest groups, and all of these different liberal groups. I'm sorry, but it is what it is. Liberal groups that are going to turn out for the election and, just happen to vote against Donald Trump in the presidential election. Right? They're going to come out and they're going to vote for this ballot referendum.
They're going to
pass this abortion referendum, but then they're going to vote against Donald Trump at the same time. And I'm not a Trump voter yet.
The Supreme Court should not look at politics when they make a decision. What they're looking at is the fact that the legislature, when I was in the legislature, we passed a 20-week ban. We did not repeal the territorial statute.
Okay.
A few years later, they went to a 15-week ban, and they did not repeal it. So what the court was looking at, it was a 4-2 because there's a 7-member board. Bill Montgomery, who's a staunch pro-lifer, recused himself so that his statements, the pro-life statements, wouldn't muddy the ruling. But it was, so it was 4-2. Brutinel and Ann Timmer, who was the Chief Justice and the Associate Justice, voted against the ruling. But what they were looking at is, did the legislature ever repeal that law? And there was never repealed.
I understand that.
They can't look at politics. They're not supposed to look at politics. They're supposed to look at the law.
You can't tell me, I don't care if you're F. Lee Bailey or Alan Dershowitz, you can't convince me that Roe v. Wade wasn't overturned to affect that election in 2022. You can't, or in 2020. I'm sorry, you just can't convince me. Because that, was it 2022? It was, right? Because that prevented the red wave. And most people will agree on that. Most political scientists, most political insiders will agree that that decision alone probably prevented the red wave.
They would have had to vote to whether to accept a case or not.
The funny part about that case in front of the U.S. Supreme Court, SCOTUS, was that it was a 6-3 decision.
Right.
It wasn't 5-4.
No.
It wasn't Trump's doing.
Right.
So there was one of those liberal or on-the-fence moderate justices that voted in favor of overturning Roe.
Right. Well, they created it out of thin air.
Well,
they had no constitutional basis.
Absolutely. And you had ERA at the time, a lot of different, you know, women's...
Activist judges on the Supreme Court that wanted to legalize abortion.
But socially, you had a lot of women's awareness groups out there that wanted that also.
Sure.
So anyway,
many of the states, California, Colorado, had legalized abortion.
I was 9 years old in 1973 and followed it as best I could. But believe me, I watched the news every day when I was a kid.
So let's talk about the predicament that the legislature is now in.
Let's do that when we come back from break. How's that sound? Perfect. I still have those Diamondbacks tickets. And we had a caller yesterday, but he ended up hanging up. I have a feeling that maybe he consulted with his better half, and she said, no, we have plans this weekend, right? Or they're going to the home show at the Havasu Riviera. Are you going to be there?
No.
No, not going to be there. You're the first contractor I've talked to that's not going to be there.
We don't have to go do those kind of things.
Oh, I got you. Back with more in a moment. 928-854-5687, 928-854-KNTR. Turn this into talk radio, not just listen radio. Back with more in a moment. We're back on Speak Out with District 5 County Supervisor Ron Gould. Oh, just pulled maybe two more topics out of Ron. So he's actually, the voice isn't worth anything, but the brain is.
The brain still works. I can't communicate. Ask my wife.
Oh, no. I don't know. Janice is always right. I love Janice. She's like, I go to the, what was that? I saw her at the Republican picnic last year. No offense, but I have more fun spending time with her than you.
There you go.
Speak Out brought to you in part by Springberg Wealth Management, by The Chair, Havasu-style dining and live entertainment in a flip-flop atmosphere, a fantastic view of the London Bridge, stroll on over to The Chair, also Mojave Community College, by samsguns.com, SunPower by Esme Electric, by Dorita's Place, providing Havasu with all-natural dog and cat food along with pet toys since 2006. Here's one for you, except you won't need it for another 30 years, right? Our newest sponsor, ZMI Mobility. They're in the 900 block of North Lake Havasu Avenue. Off-road mobility scooters, ramps, lifts for pools and vehicles. Who knew there was a pool lift, right, to get you in and out of the pool?
Yeah, actually, the Fort Mojave Tribe has a pool at their health center that has a lift.
So that's for their elders.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
That's pretty cool.
Also, car access swivel seats and stair lifts, like those magic stair lifts you see on the when you're watching Hee Haw on over-the-air TV.
And this is my own thoughts, is it's we could give people the ability to traverse the world rather than changing the world so that they could traverse it.
Wow, that's deep.
It's not that deep, but you have things like that that increase people with limited mobility. There's ways to give them more mobility than trying to, you know, put the correct ramp at every entrance to a building.
Can you say that again?
I already forgot.
You forgot what you said?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to listen to the recording.
You have to listen to the tape.
I got to transcribe that and put it in my email signature.
There you go.
I like
and
it.
And I don't even think I stole that from anybody.
So you had another thought about this territorial.
Yeah, so the real issue is the quandary that the legislature is now in. So your upcoming election, we pro-lifers are not sure that we have the hearts and minds of the people. So, and you've got the territorial ban, which is other than the life of the mother. The life of the mother is the only exception. So so they're thinking, you've got an initiative. It's an extreme initiative. And I don't think any Republican wants that initiative to pass. But do they want to go on record when you're of going ahead and repealing the territorial ban and going back to the 15-week ban?
Right. I don't even like
politically, that's a tough nut. The other thing that's in play, and you saw this happen the day before yesterday, was it's probably not, you've only got a one vote majority in the House, one vote majority in the Senate. It's probably not going to be too tough to pick off one or two Rhino Republicans to go with the Democrats to repeal the territorial ban.
Well, that's what I thought when this didn't go through, when they tried to overturn that and get a new law so that Hobbs could sign it, but nobody flipped. No squishy Republicans went for it.
The problem is you also don't have if you got members that aren't on the floor, you have a problem too. It looked like Biasucci moved a substitute motion to adjourn, which I'm glad. So apparently he's reading the rule book, so he's learned the tricks.
Well, he's been there three
times. As
turns.
The former wizard of the black arts of Senate rules. Is that what you were? Yeah, if you have something bad going on and so what you want to do is just shut the thing down. Uh-huh. You make a substitute motion to adjourn, because that takes precedent over every other motion.
That is exactly.
Then you
what
adjourn
they did.
And you live to fight another
That's
day.
That's exactly what they did.
Yep.
And now, argument's not even, or the bill.
Well, till next Wednesday.
The legislation isn't even being brought up.
Yeah, they're only going to session Wednesdays now. Which is actually pretty good, because it frees up their time, because I've spent days down there sitting in your office waiting for something to happen. Bills are all done. You're waiting for a budget negotiation. The negotiation starts out with about five people in the room, and it broadens up as time goes on. But if you're not one of the five,
right,
you're sitting around twiddling your thumbs. So it's probably better that they, even though it sounds like they're being slackers, I don't think they're really not. It just frees the people to go talk to constituents and work on some other stuff.
And speaking of talking to constituents, on May 31st, next month, at the end of the month, that's when Representative Biasucci and Senator Borelli feel they'll be available. More than likely, we'll hopefully have a budget by then. And that Friday, that's a Friday, by the way, they will be on the program together. I couldn't get them separate for some reason. Sonny's just stuck in the People's Republic of Maricopa, as he
Bummer
calls
for
it.
Him.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So, and another side note is Roger says you sound fine. I'm just used to the way you normally sound. I don't know what that means. And listener Jack says hi to Ron, and Ron sounds fine. So it's 2-1.
Okay.
You know, and on a 3-person board, I'm outvoted. So you sound fine. Anyway, the $18.5 million deficit. What's this I hear? It's gone?
Yeah, that was interesting.
Oh, wait a minute. That doesn't mean it's gone then, or it does?
No, it's gone.
Oh, you just waved a wand like Joe Biden and said, we have the money?
What happened last year when we were going through the last year's budget, or the budget that we're in now, they were forecasting an $18.5 billion deficit. So they wanted us to implement a sales tax. The sales tax takes a unanimous vote. I was not interested in implementing a sales tax, nor am I interested in raising property taxes. So, being the obstinate one that I am, they decided that they would have a couple budget hearings, and they somehow thought that would break me loose.
The Grand Wizard of Obstination.
Yeah.
There you go.
They thought that would break me loose, which it didn't, and I could have told them that anybody that knows me, if you know, when I latch on, I'm not letting go. You know, I held up Brewer's tax, sales tax hike for 9 months, made her have to come back and go to Democrats to get her votes. Then in the end, the money that was raised by Brewer's sales tax ended up as a surplus.
Wasn't that a temporary?
It was.
The sunset, and it never did.
Well,
as you predicted.
No, it actually did.
Oh, it did.
Yeah,
sunset.
People can't. What happens is towards the end of these taxes, people come in and try to hijack them and keep them going.
Right.
But I will. That didn't happen. They ended up beating down the hijackers. So that actually did. That's got to be the first one ever that sunsetted. But the point was that the money that tax raised ended up as a surplus. So you didn't need that. Like I said, you
That's
didn't
right.
need that money anyway.
Right.
So I'm having it that, you know, they try to beat me up in these meetings, and you know, so I'm getting beat up by other supervisors, getting, you know, pressured by staff to raise taxes, which I don't care. I don't work for either of those. I work for the folks. And so I had a budget meeting about 2 weeks ago with the county manager and the finance director, and they said, well, we're happy to tell you that $18.5 million deficit's gone. And I go, okay,
how did that happen?
Yeah, and their assumptions were wrong.
Oh, what do you mean by that?
Well, they made a bunch of assumptions that were incorrect. One of them was they have a thing called PTO buyback, paid time off buyback.
Sure.
So that for every pay period you work for the county, I think you get a day of PTO. PTO is for sick days and vacations is what that's for.
PTO is to use however you like.
Right, but
yes.
Generally they don't get sick days, vacation days, and PTO. They just get PTO.
Oh, it's all combined.
Yeah, it's
okay.
Just all PTO.
Uh-huh.
Well, we were going to buy back, if they had additional PTO, we were going to buy it back. They made the assumption that everybody was going to do this. Well, only 20% of the people did it. And they got to talking to Bullhead City, who's had the same program for a while, and they found out it levels off at about 30%. So that was several million dollars. But they'd made a bunch of assumptions that didn't pan out to be true. But it was interesting because they told me there was nothing to cut. You know, they couldn't do it without a tax increase. But here we are. You know, the deficit is now healed.
So what happens with the morgue? What happens with the new fairgrounds improvements? What happens with those capital projects?
Some of them are going forward. Some of them aren't. We can't find any bidders on the remodel of the old courthouse. So if you
can't find any bidders.
Nobody wants to bid.
No qualified bidders, or they're all overbid?
Well, they're all, no. There's
they're
no,
just sitting out.
There's no bidders. They put it out to bid and no one bid.
Oh. Interesting.
Yeah,
That's the old courthouse. Was there a jail in there too?
There's the historic jail next
okay,
door,
right,
which
okay.
is like a rock. It's cool. It's a rock.
Oh, I did a tour
jail.
Of that
yeah.
with a TV station.
And the courthouse yeah. looks like what a courthouse is supposed to look like.
Okay, so we have a third verdict. Oh, see, now he's coughing off the air, which you can't see, but I did. But now listener Donna in Kingman says that Ron sounds fine, and Ron sounds okay is the quote, and she put an emoji for chicken soup on there.
I had some chicken soup yesterday.
See, apparently she thinks you sound okay, but here's some chicken soup for you.
Just for good measure.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
The morgue, we don't have a morgue now.
But no.
We don't own it. The medical examiner owns it. We're looking at a new medical examiner contract, and one of the proposers is a group that works with Kingman Regional, so we may do something with them.
I got you.
And we don't necessarily need to own a building. The way lately we can buy buildings less than we can build them. So currently there's really building things, there's no advantage to us, but I kind of hate taking buildings off the tax rolls. Because when we take, like the library here in Havasu used to be a CVS drug, and so we bought that and that takes it off the tax roll. You know, and that's not available for free market use.
One last topic I didn't get to talk to you about off the air is Dr. Chad Kingsley is leaving for Reno. I'm not sure if it's Washoe County Department of Public Health, but it's one
Hopefully he's not driving the Mojave County car up there.
Easy now. Okay, so anyway, the programming side note is he will be on, thanks to Roger, who schedules county
staff, elections, people who win elections like yourself, they schedule themselves.
Sure.
The county staff schedules through Roger. Roger got him on with us April 29th, the day before Dr. Kingsley is leaving Mojave County. That's the day before his last day on April 30th. What would you like to see in a new county public health director?
In a director?
Yeah. Cause we have to replace him.
Right.
Or I don't know if we have to, but I assume the county is going to replace them. And aren't those RFPs or whatever they do for staff, you know, big staff such as that, a director, that's going to be through the month of May, correct?
We don't actually choose those people.
Well, the supervisors don't.
All we do is approve their salary.
What do you want to see? I mean, do you want to see another Denise Burley? Do you want to see Chad Kingsley, or do you want to see a mix of the two?
I was fine with Denise, really. Denise went...
You know, a lot of people didn't like what you just said.
It's tough.
Yeah, okay.
That was a terrible job to have during the COVID.
Very.
And
right.
People were verbally abusive to her, which is uncalled for. All she was doing was implementing the will of the board. The majority of the board wanted to see those things that happened. I was not on the majority. I voted against all of that stuff. So she did what the board asked her to do, and that takes a look at the CDC recommendations, which was what everybody was following. I wouldn't have went that way, but I don't blame that on Denise for doing what the majority of the board told her to do. You don't necessarily have to be a doctor. Dr. Kinsley's a medical doctor. Denise Burley was not.
Correct.
But it's a management job. You're not treating individuals. You're managing people.
No, she was definitely in the middle of the maelstrom. It was not a good situation to be in for any director.
I was thankful that she didn't quit in the middle of it. Cause she was just getting abused.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I'm a politician.
Name calling publicly?
Yeah, if you want to call me names, that's fine.
Yeah.
I signed up for the gig. I put a target on my back. Mm-hmm. You can call me names if you want to.
And people have
right.
When they call in. But we've had that happen too.
And that's the gig, but these people, these are employees. That's not really their deal.
Right.
On that matter, we're going to put up maybe approving a new information sheet to go in the vaccination information sheet that tells people that they do not have to vaccinate their children to go to school. So that's on our agenda for Monday.
So that's up to the district, correct?
No.
The school district?
No, it's not.
Oh, it's not?
State law.
It's
statute.
State law says you have to vaccinate your children?
Law says that you have to vaccinate your children except if you have an exception. One of the exceptions is your doctor says you don't have to. The second exception is your parent says you don't have to.
You can just get a doctor to say you don't have to get a measles, rubella, mumps.
Don't need a doctor.
All that. You just
the parent has
that's
a
what you just said.
No, the parent can create their own exemption by not vaccinate their children if it violates their deeply held beliefs.
So that's what the board pretty much codified.
But no, we're just giving them the information.
Because
I don't think they're getting that information. If you go back to the situation with my baby great granddaughter. The health department browbeat my granddaughter into giving the baby 11 vaccines.
All at once?
At once, and the baby had a seizure, and now she's had another seizure, I'm sorry to say.
Has she been tested for autism or any
spectrum? I don't even know that they test that stuff in a six-month-old baby.
Oh, she's 6 months old?
Yeah.
Okay. But you're watching her milestones and all that, obviously.
Sure, sure.
Yeah. Wow.
Sure.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it's not... It's
I read about it, but it's different when you talk to somebody about it, obviously.
No, it's unsettling.
Yeah,
it's unsettling.
It is, very much so. All right. Ron Gould, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
As always, District 5 Mojave County Supervisor Ron Gould, the first Friday of the month. In June, the second Friday of the month, I'm sorry. In June, you actually are right before our 45-day deadline up to the election.
Oh, score.
You're on the 14th, and the deadline's the 15th. That's the cusp right there, that Saturday.
That works for me.
Yeah, so you could be on until June 14th, and then you have to take a break till after the primary.
Yep.
Sound good?
That works. We've done this many times.
All right. Back with a final shot in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. There's a churning in my gut, because I just can't call you up when things get rough.
Don't mean it. I won't be right by your side.
That's right. I'll be right by your side all weekend. Not. Giselle, Act 2 with Noah's Ark. BalletHavasu.org for tickets. $10, $15, and $20. It's at the Lake Havasu Unified School District Performing Arts Center tomorrow night at 7 and April 14th at 2 p.m. That would be Sunday, by the way. Also on Sunday, 10 to 2, is Family Game Day. It's Child Abuse Prevention Month in April. And you're going to want to go to HavenCenterLHC.org. We talked about it yesterday. If you want more information, just go to KNTRTalk.com and listen to the Speak Out interview from yesterday. All right, on Monday, I was trying to teach Marissa June Spanish during the break. Día de los Dos Jefes, the Day of the Two Chiefs, as Jim Russell calls it, is on Monday. We'll have Chief Pete and Chief Troy right here in the studio. We'll talk to you on Monday.
Daddy Grandma.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The Voice of the Free.